Hello, and welcome to Another Moment in Creation with Diana Wedge. Today, we're talking about iron. Iron is an element that has been known in its pure form for around 5,000 years. It is an Anglo-Saxon and Scandinavian word that means metal. The elemental symbol for iron is a capital F and a lowercase e, which comes from the Latin word for iron, which is ferrum, meaning firmness. If we do not have enough iron in our bodies, we can become anemic, and the state of having too much iron is called hemochromatosis. God designed us to require a perfect balance to live at our best and our healthiest. We'll discuss this a little more in a few minutes. Iron is one of the most plentiful elements. It makes up a lot of the Earth's crust and almost all of its core. Studying multiple sources, statistics surprisingly varied, so I cannot give you a precise percentage. However, by mass, iron is one of the most common elements on Earth, right in front of oxygen. Mass aside, iron is the second most abundant of all metals on Earth. Only aluminum is more abundant, although iron composes a part of the Earth's crust, iron rarely appears in its pure mineral form. Natural iron usually occurs as an alloy with nickel in rocks like basalt. Pure iron is a soft metal with a grayish color, and it is a solid at room temperature. You cannot make steel without iron. The single largest use of iron is to make steel, an alloy of iron. Along with a few tenths of a percent of carbon, this improves its strength and fracture resistance compared to other forms of iron. Iron is the key constituent in steel, which is vital to engineering and manufacturing. 90% of all refined metal today is iron, most of it for production of steel and steel alloys. How is iron extracted from the earth? The book of Job, chapter 28, verse 2 explains, "Iron is taken from the earth, and copper is smelted from ore." Reference.com gets a bit into the details. Heavy mining equipment is necessary to dig out large pits in an area with a large deposit of iron ore. It is necessary to use a blast furnace to separate or refine iron from the other substances in the iron ore as well. The extraction of iron from an iron oxide involves a series of steps that begins with mined iron ore being crushed into smaller pieces by a crusher and then washed. The second step in the process is a roasting of the ore, which removes certain impurities, carbon dioxide, and other substances. The blast furnace reduces iron from the iron oxide, but the complete reduction reaction requires the addition of coke and limestone to the roasted ore. After the completion of different processes in the blast furnace, molten iron flows from the bottom of the blast furnace. This molten iron may be utilized as cast iron. A high purity iron, such as wrought iron, requires the complete removal of carbon from this iron. Likewise, the steelmaking process requires the removal of other impurities like sulfur and phosphorus from molten iron. Many other different types of steel also are fabricated from this molten iron. Because of miners and iron workers, we can use iron in kitchen cookware. Even that fork you use to eat with is made from stainless steel, an iron alloy. We use iron in our home and other construction processes, in plumbing by galvanized steel pipes, for furnaces to keep air circulating, which also keeps us warm or cool as we need, and for various security systems and fencing. We use iron to make tools which are used for countless purposes for home maintenance, in industry, for automobiles and heavy machinery, in agriculture and bridge construction. Iron is also produced as supplements in medicine. Because iron is utilized by our body's physiology, it is one of the necessities required for us to live. How does our body use iron? Iron is a mineral that our bodies need for growth and development. Did you know that human blood gets its red color from iron and oxygen interacting with each other? Iron also helps the liver to get rid of unwanted toxins from our bodies. God designed our bodies to absorb and use iron in amazing ways. Iron is an essential dietary mineral used by our red blood cells. Iron is a crucial part of hemoglobin, which is a protein in red blood cells. Hemoglobin is responsible for delivering oxygen from your lungs to all parts of your body. Hemoglobin distributes oxygenated blood throughout our body and keeps our organs working properly, and healthy organs contribute to the maintenance of a healthy immune system. Iron also helps myoglobin, which is a protein that provides oxygen to the cells of your muscles, including your heart. Your body also needs iron to make some hormones. Proper iron balances sharpen your concentration and memory, and it also drives your body's energy supplies. Iron is stored in the liver, spleen, bone marrow, and it is located in myoglobin within muscle tissue. Iron appears in the liver, where it helps make poisons harmless. Iron is so important to the human body that we possess many complex mechanisms to regulate the absorption of iron from our food. We do not even need a special mechanism to get rid of it. The fact that our body absorbs only a limited amount of iron appears to be part of God's design to limit its uptake. There are two types of dietary iron: heme and non-heme. Heme iron is found only in animal foods, mostly in red meat. It is absorbed more easily than non-heme iron. Most dietary iron is in the non-heme form. It is found in both animals and plants. Its absorption can be enhanced with organic acids, such as vitamin C, but it is decreased by natural plant compounds like phytate. Like many other nutrients, iron is harmful in high amounts. In fact, iron is so toxic that its absorption from the digestive tract is tightly controlled. It is heavily regulated by the hormone hepcidin. For the most part, this minimizes the harmful effects of excess iron. However, several iron overload disorders may disrupt this fragile balance. Let's talk about when we have too much iron. There are a few reasons that high iron can occur in a person. A doctor should be consulted before making any assumptions. Some people have an inherited condition called hemochromatosis, and this causes toxic levels of iron to build up in their bodies. Without medical treatment, people with hereditary hemochromatosis can develop serious problems such as liver cirrhosis, liver cancer, and heart disease. If you are prone to iron overload, you can minimize the risk of health problems by reducing your intake of iron-rich foods such as red meat. You can donate blood regularly, avoid taking vitamin C with foods that are rich in iron, and avoid using iron cookware. Unless you've been diagnosed with iron overload, reducing your iron intake is generally not recommended, however. Health Grades details symptoms to never ignore if you might have hemochromatosis. Joint pain. Pain in your joints is one of the most common symptoms caused by iron deposits in the joints that can result in arthritis if you have hemochromatosis. Fatigue. Feeling tired all the time is a common hemochromatosis symptom. You may feel a lack of energy, general weakness, and difficulty concentrating or memory fog. Abnormal heartbeat. Excess iron deposits in the heart can result in symptoms such as heart flutters, palpitations, or irregular heartbeats, also called arrhythmias. Changes in skin color. Your skin is an organ, and it can be affected by excess iron. Deposits can cause your skin to change color. You may look tan or take on a bronze or gray or reddish cast. If hemochromatosis has led to liver damage, you may develop jaundice, resulting in a yellowish appearance to your skin. Abdominal pain. Your abdominal organs can also collect deposits of excess iron, particularly in the liver. Reproductive organ dysfunction. Some of these symptoms may be reversed with hemochromatosis treatment, depending on the amount of damage prior to diagnosis. And unexplained weight loss. Iron deposits in the pancreas can cause damage that prevents it from producing insulin properly, which can trigger diabetes. One symptom of diabetes is unexpected weight loss. Hemochromatosis can also affect the thyroid and adrenal glands, which regulate metabolism and affect body weight. If you are losing a relatively significant amount of weight, more than 5% of your body weight, without even trying to do so, you need to contact your physician. Let's talk about when we have too little iron. What is iron deficiency anemia? Iron deficiency anemia is caused by a shortage of iron in the blood. This prevents the bone marrow from making enough hemoglobin, the oxygen-carrying pigment in red blood cells that I mentioned. It'll result in the body not getting enough oxygen. Anemia persists until treated unless the cause is temporary, in which case the body will slowly build up the deficit. When we do not have enough iron in our body, red blood cells become smaller and contain less hemoglobin. Blood carries less oxygen from the lungs throughout the body. When we do not have enough iron, our heart has to work harder to try to get oxygen to our vital organs, and a lack of proper iron levels means we are basically suffocating our internal organs. This also weakens our immune system. Our bodies do not absorb iron very easily, and God has designed us to hold on to iron stores within our body to help us in times of lack. This contributes to why it can take a couple years before a person is diagnosed as anemic. The downside to this is that when our storehouse of iron is about depleted, it can take about as much time to build back up the iron needed to be healthy, as well as store some at the same time. Looking pale and feeling faint are not the only signs of iron deficiency. Painful leg cramps can also be a sign. This is usually from the body trying to pull iron from its storehouse of marrow in the bones. Other possible symptoms are a red, inflamed tongue, dizziness, headache, difficulty maintaining body temperature, shortness of breath, brittle, wavy nails, irritability, rapid and irregular heartbeat, and in mild cases or early stages, you might not notice any symptoms at all. It's important to take note that a person with anemia will have extreme fatigue and tiredness. It will be impossible to get through the day without a nap or having to sit a lot. Their limbs can feel quite heavy as well. And one of the things that's unique to iron deficiency is the concept of pica, the Latin term for craving inert substances. Some people who are iron deficient will eat ice, dirt, chalk, starch, sand, or paper. They may crave specific foods like certain kinds of pastas. The body is craving the iron mineral that it desperately needs, and it seeks it out even when the person has no idea of the connection. What foods provide iron? Iron is found naturally in many foods and is added to some fortified food products. You can get recommended amounts of iron by eating a variety of foods, including lean meat, seafood and poultry, iron-fortified breakfast cereals and breads, white beans, lentils, spinach, kidney beans and peas, nuts and some dried fruits such as raisins. Remember, if you think you may have too much or too little iron in your body, the only way to know for sure is to see your doctor and be tested. Please do not take an iron supplement unless your doctor recommends you to do so. You have to be proactive in your healthcare. In Canada, your blood work will not check for iron or hemoglobin levels unless your doctor specifically orders it. Talk to your doctor about it if you have any concerns or questions. Iron is essential to plant life. People, animals, and plants require iron. In photosynthesis, plants require iron to produce chlorophyll, the green pigment that allows them to harness energy from sunlight. Too much phosphorus in soil impedes iron uptake and causes iron deficiency in plants, called chlorosis. If plants become iron deficient, their leaves turn a sickly yellow and they eventually die because they are not able to produce chlorophyll. Answers in Genesis, or AIG, research scientist Dr. Joe Francis explains that not just humans, but all living things require iron. For example, one important type of bacteria needs iron in an enzyme so it can break down the otherwise unbreakable bonds of nitrogen gas. Plants depend on this steady supply of usable nitrogen to build DNA, as do other creatures. Eventually, this nitrogen shows up in all the food we eat. Without the iron that originally appeared in the lowly bacteria, all plants, animals, and people would perish. God designed highly complex mechanisms to extract iron from the earth and safely deliver the right quantity to our bodies without killing us. If these systems were not in place from the very beginning, nothing would have survived. The same pattern appears over and over again. Living organisms need many molecules that would be toxic unless complex mechanisms were already in place to control them. The Creator carefully placed iron into the design of living things, which already contained mechanisms to keep this mineral in check. The loving designer of life then made it easy for us to obtain iron simply by eating a salad, a hamburger, or our favorite breakfast cereal. Let's talk about iron as a metal. Iron is a transition metal. And in a super tiny nutshell, these elements are very hard, with high melting points and boiling points. You can do your own research to examine the chemistry involved with defining a transitional metal. The melting point for iron is 1,538 degrees Celsius, and its boiling point is 2,862 degrees Celsius. Why iron is magnetic sometimes. Let's take an incredibly brief tip of the toe into quantum mechanics. Don't be intimidated by the word. Mechanics is the part of physics that explains how things move, and quantum is the Latin term for how much. Ferromagnetism is the mechanism by which materials are attracted to magnets and form permanent magnets. The word actually means iron magnetism because that is the most familiar example of the phenomenon and the one scientists first studied. Ferromagnetism is a quantum mechanical property of a material. It depends on its microstructure and crystalline state, which can be affected by temperature and composition. The quantum mechanical property is determined by the behavior of electrons. Iron is not always magnetic. Allotropes are forms of a chemical element that differ at the molecular level, or in the way the atoms are arranged into molecules. The different forms arise from the different ways atoms may be bonded together. Basically, the A allotrope or form of iron is ferromagnetic. Yet, if it is transformed to the B allotrope, the magnetism disappears even though the crystal lattice is unchanged. The reference to crystal lattice is referring to a three-dimensional geometric arrangement of atoms, molecules, or ions in a crystal. Stainless steel, which contains iron, is typically unmagnetized. Manufacturers use an external magnetic field to orient all of the individual magnetic domains of the iron in stainless steel. Exposing stainless steel to a magnetic field allows the steel to retain permanent magnetic properties. Okay, physics lesson over. Why do we see rust on iron? Iron oxidation is what causes iron to rust. Iron oxide is created through a type of chemical reaction in which the oxidation states of atoms are changed, known as a redox reaction of iron, oxygen, and water. Stainless steel can rust because it is an iron alloy. Rust is specific to iron. Like all steel, stainless steel is mostly iron, but it also contains nickel and chromium. Stainless steel may corrode due to various reasons, and you can look into those on your own. Corrosion gets rid of the chromium, hence leaving the raw steel to be exposed to different elements that can accelerate rusting. By the way, the surface of Mars gets its red color from an iron oxide, or rust. Old iron beads. Meteorites are mostly made of iron. One of the earliest examples of iron working are some old iron beads dated around 5,000 years old found in an ancient Egyptian tomb. The beads were made from meteorites and they are the oldest known iron artifacts in the world. There is evidence that many tools and jewelry were made from meteorites before mining for iron began. Humans were clearly resourceful enough to figure out how to use meteorites in such a way thousands of years ago. Pretty smart. We'll talk a little more about that soon. Did you know that bronze is stronger and more durable than iron? But the iron alloy steel is even stronger than bronze. Too many irons in the fire. The saying, too many irons in the fire, means that you're feeling overwhelmed from trying to do too many things at once. The saying originated in the mid-1500s and referred to blacksmithing. Ironsmithing requires careful timing and monitoring of temperatures. If an inexperienced blacksmith heated too many irons in the forge at once, some would inevitably be ruined. Look out! Here they come again! Is iron the key to preserving dinosaur soft tissue? Medical Dr. Elizabeth Mitchell from AIG writes that iron may paradoxically be the key, as evolutionist researchers claim, to preserving dinosaur soft tissue, although they say it suits for the assumed millions of years. We'll talk about that here. Dr. Mitchell states that, quote, more specifically, highly reactive iron atoms are released from proteins when an organism dies. While the organism is alive, iron is sequestered in useful proteins, thus protecting it and preventing it from participating in destructive chemical reactions. It remains impossible to demonstrate just how long such preservation has lasted, despite the evolutionist claims that iron-induced preservation could last millions of years, unquote. In 2005, Dr. Mary Schweitzer identified soft tissue containing red blood cells and blood vessels inside of dinosaur bone. And ever since then, she's been trying to prove that iron could be the connection to make these fossils last for millions of years. However, the actual research that was done on ostrich vessels. And basically they soaked them in hemoglobin mixture, and after 2 years they determined that they were pliable, and therefore the giant leap was made that they could also last millions of years. Well, catastrophic burial is still essential in this situation, because preservation of soft tissue requires more than the presence of iron in a dead animal. Rapid burial is needed. And the global flood supplied the rapid burial beneath huge masses of mineral-laden waterborne sediment that's required for the large-scale fossilization that we see in Earth's sedimentary rocks. Burial in these porous sediments where water can flow through, such as the sandstone in which soft tissue containing dinosaur bones have been found, is a further help to preserving delicate soft tissue. The bones of the specimens in which Schweitzer has found soft tissue have been articulated or connected in such a way as to demonstrate normal relationships rather than scattered, which is an additional testimony to their rapid burial.
rapid burial plus the release of biologically bound iron may be the twin keys to keeping dinosaur soft tissue long enough for paleontologists to find. Men and their tools. AIG details that many museums feature depictions of prehistoric man in various settings, using various types of tools. Allegedly, the more primitive people used tools of stone, progressed to making tools of bronze, and culminated with making tools of iron. However, from the Bible, we know that almost from the beginning, men were working with metals and making tools of iron. The great-great-great-great-great-grandson of Adam was Tubal-Cain, who was an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron, according to Genesis chapter 4, verse 22. Noah must have used various types of tools to build his giant boat. Presumably, he would have passed his knowledge on to his sons, who taught their sons, and so on. At Babel, the people quickly scattered. In rebuilding their lives elsewhere, some may have used the available materials, stones or wood, to fashion new homes. Later, they took more time to find ores and then smelt new metal tools and build other homes for themselves. Other family groups may have simply lacked the knowledge of how to work with metal and only used what was nearby in their tool making. That also means that maybe they excelled in another skill. In fact, scientists have found that the Haya people of Tanzania were making medium carbon steel in preheated forced draft furnaces long before Europeans began steelwork in the 19th century. Writer Avery Foley tells us that man was intelligent from the very beginning. When we start with God's Word, we know that humans are not necessarily getting smarter as time goes on. Adam and Eve were created in God's image, as Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 tells us. And originally, we had perfect brains and intelligence. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 explains that everything was very good that God had made. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4 explains that God is perfect and righteous. He does not lie. So if he says it was good, it was perfect. But our brains are now subjected to a sin-cursed world. So the overall state of mankind is actually worse, not better, as mutations and other genetic problems stack up with time. Genesis chapter 4, verses 20 through 22 states, "And Adah bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron." 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 7 states, "Therefore send me at once a man skillful to work in gold and silver, in bronze and iron, in purple and crimson and blue, who has skill to engrave with the skillful men who are with me in Judah and Jerusalem, whom David my father provided." These verses show us that ancient man possessed the technical capabilities to make musical instruments and work with metals. Dr. Ross Anderson shares that the earth truly was formed to be inhabited. Many aspects may be argued as coincidental, but when taken together, the coincidences all point to the same direction, purposeful design. The arguments against a creator become severely weakened. Let us not be willfully ignorant of the many fingerprints God has left for us to find throughout His creation, including the necessity of iron for life in His creation. Iron in Scripture. Iron is mentioned many, many, numerous times in the Bible. Here are only a few scriptures. For beauty and representing the finest things. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 2, we read, "Now for the house of my God I have prepared with all my might, gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Detailing great strength in a literal way in Job chapter 40, verse 18, referring to Behemoth. His bones are like beams of bronze, his ribs like bars of iron. In defining reproof, correction, and instruction, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 reads, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Which leads us to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Remember the iron workers I referred to at the beginning of our time together? Let's be grateful for the hard work the miners and iron workers do so we can live as comfortably as we do. I'm going to share with you the iron workers' prayer. Monuments built by human hands, bridges, towers, and buildings too, by men who work for me and you. Men with strong and calloused hands who toil all day upon our lands. They work in weather dark and dreary. When day is done, they come home weary. They work in hottest heat of day and earn every bit of their weekly pay. They work in mud and sleet and snow and go where others dare not go. They work alone and with each other, and that is why they're called brother. They climb where angels fear to tread. They never look down in fear or dread. So don't wait till the by and by to say a prayer to the one on high. For men on whom we all rely, bless the iron worker in the sky. Let's remember to be grateful to the one who created the iron ore, the miners and the iron workers. Your body depends on a wide range of potentially toxic minerals to survive. One is iron. If taken in its pure form, iron would kill you, but the Creator God put in place an elegant system to supply your daily iron. God blesses us in so many ways, many of those we may take for granted, but I hope today you will reflect on an essential element that not only enhances our everyday lives, but is so necessary for us to live healthy, full lives. God is so good, and He provides all our needs in abundant ways. We just have to examine His creation to see His hand in it. If you want to take notes of the information I have given, I encourage you to check out our website for archived episodes at CrestonGraceFellowship.org. Click Radio Station, and then click My Program tab. This is Diana signing off until we share another moment in creation.